Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Life.
Love. And health.
Take your hands off my uterus. I saw that startling statement on a bumper sticker, which I imagine was all about reproductive freedom and choice, but I was wrong. The driver and activist told me that over 600,000 uteruses are removed each year in a procedure called a hysterectomy, most of which, according to our next guest, are unjustified and unnecessary, which is exactly the way she feels in retrospect about her own hysterectomy. Our guest is Nora Coffey, president of the Hysterectomy Education Resources and Services Foundation, also known as HERS. You can find them at HERS, H-E-R-S, foundation.org. Nora, welcome to Body Language.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
600,000 hysterectomies a year. I understand that that number has not changed in decades. Is that true?
Well, for the past 10 years, It has been pretty much the same. The numbers appear to be a little different when you look at the national health statistics, but the number that is going down is inpatient hysterectomies, but the number of outpatient hysterectomies is going up, and that number is not reflected in the stats.
You had a terrible experience with your hysterectomy, and my heart really goes out to you, and I can certainly understand your sense of mission here. Let me quote from an article entitled Hysterectomy, the Shocking Truth. When Coffey was on the operating table, the surgeon decided to remove the ovaries, an oophorectomy, as well as her uterus to avoid the possibility of later ovarian cancer. Your ovaries were removed without your consent, without your permission?
My uterus and ovaries were removed without my consent. I had an ovarian cyst. It turned out to be benign. And that was known while I was on the operating table. So I had agreed to only removal of the cyst.
Oh.
And if there was no cancer, nothing more would be done.
But
so after getting the frozen section and finding out it was benign, the surgeon just went ahead and took out my uterus and both ovaries.
What were the consequences of that?
Well, my experience... Yes, was unfortunate, but it was not in any way uncommon. I had what I have since learned are the typical consequences of hysterectomy. The first thing that I noticed was that I felt really not in touch with my body. I felt a difference that is pretty hard to put into words, but I almost like a loss of identity.
Well, you said there was a deadening of sensation from the waist to the mid-thigh, and you also said that, quote, sex had been on a scale of 1 to 10, a 10 plus. After the operation, there was no sexual desire or feeling. And it would be an understatement to say, gee, Nora, that must have been disappointing.
Well, it was pretty shocking, and at first I thought that this must be temporary. This just had to do with recent surgery. I was sure it would get better. And in fact, the loss of uterine contractions during orgasm can't get better without a uterus. So uterine orgasm is simply not a possibility once the uterus is removed.
You know, there is this mythology that a hysterectomy is just sort of a plumbing issue, you know, that perhaps if one is older and postmenopausal, oh well, gee, you know, you really don't need that anymore. That is not the case, is it?
Well, yeah, I counsel women in their 80s who continued to be sexually active, who were just as devastated by the loss of the ability to enjoy sex as a woman in her 20s.
Our guest is Nora Coffey, president of the Hysterectomy Educational Resources and Services Foundation. You can learn more about Nora and her work at their website, hersfoundation.org, H-E-R-S foundation.org. Nora, what are the most common reasons hysterectomy are performed?
The most common reason is fibroids, which more than half of all women have. And fibroids are just benign growths of muscle and connective tissue. They grow until a woman reaches menopause, and then they slowly and gradually shrink to a negligible size.
And this is especially true of women of African descent. Isn't that the case?
Well, it is true that
more prevalence.
African-American women have more fibroids than women who are not. But overall, you're looking at more than half the female population that develop fibroids, so they're extremely common. And they do grow until menopause. That's a normal occurrence, and they have two rapid growth spurts, the first in the late 40s, the first in the late 30s to early 40s, and the second in the late 40s to early 50s. And that's when a doctor is likely to say, oh, your fibroids are growing. You need a hysterectomy. It could be cancer. But when you realize that this is just the natural growth and they are going to shrink after menopause, most fibroids don't require treatment of any kind, let alone a surgery. When there is heavy bleeding, and I mean really heavy flooding, where a woman would go through two super pads in 20 to 30 minutes and be passing very large blood clots, they can be as big as your fist, that means there's a submucosal fibroid, one that's located in the inside endometrial layer of the uterus. And a submucosal fibroid is the only location where it causes that kind of heavy bleeding.
Your contention, Nora, is that hysterectomy is recommended too often. Statistically, how too often?
Well, one out of three women in this country do not have their female organs. So there is nothing that is more disease-prone about the female organs than there is about the male organs.
Well, apparently the HERS Foundation is the only organization solely dedicated to the issue of hysterectomy. Congratulations. And the organization has counseled over 850,000 women. You say that 98% of the women HERS has referred to board-certified gynecologists after being told they needed hysterectomies discovered that, in fact, they did not need a hysterectomy. That's a shocking statistic.
It is shocking. And what does a woman do if a doctor says she needs a hysterectomy?
What does a woman do if a doctor says she needs a hysterectomy?
And the very, very first thing to do is ask, what is my medical problem? And if you're told it's fibroids or heavy bleeding or an ovarian cyst, that's not a medical problem. Fibroids are just something that half the population of women have. Heavy bleeding is a symptom. It's not a medical problem. Ovarian cyst is something every menstruating woman produces. So you want to know, do you have a medical problem? And if you do, what is it exactly? Then go home.
Yes.
Get
go
online.
Right.
Research. And find a doctor who treats your symptoms conservatively. Most conditions like fibroids, ovarian cyst, are normal, and they don't require any treatment or intervention. If you need help in finding a doctor who offers conservative alternatives and treatment, there are nonprofit organizations such as HERS who can refer you to a doctor who treats your condition conservatively.
You also publish a very, very helpful brochure, which has a number of true and false questions in it, a wealth of information, also questions that women should be asking of their physician. And that is free, and folks can obtain a copy of that brochure at the Hysterectomy Education Resources and Services Foundation, also known as HERS, at hersfoundation.org. Nora Coffey, I really admire your sense of mission. You're doing very, very important work. And a good place to start looking for a second opinion would be at the HERS website. I'm sure you would agree with that.
When in doubt, tell a doctor you appreciate their opinion, and you will get back to them after you do some research and get other opinions.
Nora, thank you so much for joining us today on Body Language. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you.
I'm Christopher Springman. You're listening to Body Language.